ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Low Sodium Show. I am your host, Mark Lennon Crew Wheeler, with my special co-host today, Matt Yak Chum Trucks. And yeah, folks, today's been one of those days that I just want to forget.
Yes, good evening.
Yes. So tonight's show is going to be a little crazy because I am still working. Matt's running the boards. So basically what's going to happen is we're going to do a little bit of freshwater stuff to start off with. Then Matt's going to take off with some sodium stuff. Yes, folks, we're talking salt water. You need salt. It's a vital source of that nutrient, tasty stuff that we all need to do things that need to get done. So with that being said, let's get right to it. Tonight's show is kind of weird. We're going to talk a little bit about brackish. Bass fishing, really, and the thoughts behind them, behind fishing brackish waters. A lot of us that do fish the areas, you know, east or west coast, it really doesn't matter. Brackish bass are everywhere, from the California Delta to, you know, here in Virginia to down south and everywhere else. Bass like that brackish water. The reason is it's full of life. But before we go any further, we're going to go ahead and take a let's keep on going, why not? So basically, what is brackish water? Brackish water is a mixture of salt and fresh water, okay? It's got a higher salinity, which is a salt content, than basic fresh water, but it's also sweeter, is what the term that we use, than salt water. And it is very tidal driven, okay? And this is something you need to really understand to really become successful at understanding where to find these bass, is that there are areas that at high tide you'll find them, at low tide you'll find them in other areas, and those spots you need to pick out. But first, what is a tide? A tide is a moon-driven fluctuation of water. Okay, the moon's gravity either pulls it or pushes it. Okay, it's as simple as that. And understanding your tides for your area, there's some great websites that have them. Best thing to do is just, you know, type in tides for, you know, Umnefritz, place and go from there. But if, when you start fishing brackish waters, you notice it'll be a different color. It'll be darker colored usually, depending on the flow of water for that specific area. When you fish these areas, okay, understand that you could go in there and you'd be fishing for bass and catch a redfish. You could go in there and fishing for redfish and catch a bass. Okay? It's kind of weird in that sense. So let's break down some areas you really want to understand. A lot of brackish water has reeds. It is one of those things, reeds, tules, things like that. Areas where bass can get into and get real tight. You'll see a lot of weeds on top, too, usually. Duckweed, hydrilla pads in the sweeter areas, you know, stuff like that. Now, with that being said, tides move water. There's going to be current. Okay, for all you trout fishermen or any of you that fish for trout, freshwater trout, or smallmouths, understand eddies and current and backflows and all those things. This is where you're going to really want to step into there pretty heavily and understand that. Bass don't want to sit in the main current. They're going to sit in those little pockets, little areas where they can get away from it. Reading the water is critical, okay? Being able to read that water and you know, pick off those spots where there is no current is where the bass are most likely to be sitting, or current spots where there's no current with current very close by, okay? But for more on that, we'll get right back with more on the Low Sodium Show with a quick commercial break. All right, folks, be right back.
Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers, made 100% in the USA, always has been, always will be. Check them out at OrcaCoolers.com.
All right, folks, we're back. Okay, we're talking about brackish bass fishing here. Just a quick little thing. Next week's show should be more in-depth on brackish bass. But baits you're going to want to use. And this is my personal preference. I personally love Senkos. Are really good for this. Rig and weedless. Find the current. Find that flow around a spot. Pitch it upstream, quote-unquote, okay? Let it drift into those holes. Okay, and once you do that, the bass will be there. Now, the great one is a weedless swim bait. Okay, they're the 4-inch ones that mimic the bait that you see. Match the hatch as closely as possible. For areas that have shrimp, surprisingly, the Unfair Lures sinking shrimp is absolutely deadly on bass in brackish water. It is absolutely awesome. I love it. You need to stick it right in that hole, right in that bass's, den, and pull them out without any issues. Mirrodines, greenies from Unfair Lures, all those baits work very, very well in brackish water. You can literally, sky's the limit.
I got somebody typing in the chat room. He says there's nothing like a Tommy head jig also.
Oh, that is very true.
I'm sure you know who that is.
Yes, of course. a 1/16 ounce or 1/8 ounce Tommy head, the lightest one you can find, with a swim bait, surprisingly. Or I've actually used a finesse worm and just let the current just kind of drive it in there. That little tail just kind of flutters. It looks like a worm, and there are tons of aquatic worms in brackish water. And that slides in front of them. That's a big protein source for bass, and they love eating them. They will tear them up.
Keep eating them with a bass assassin or a hoagie. Those work pretty well.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. And don't think, you have to fish the toolies and everything else. But like I said, this is just a precursor to next week's show. I'm going offshore next Wednesday, so I'm not sure when I'm going to get back, folks. It might be a show 2 weeks from now. Just letting you know. With that being said, I am currently sitting at the fuel dock waiting the fuel, and we just got the thumbs up. So, with that being said, Matt is going to take over. He's going to talk about some saltwater stuff, and I'll talk to y'all in probably about 20 minutes when I'm done fueling. All right, Matt, take it away.
All right, I'm up. I can continue with the brackish water. Recently I was just down fishing in Maryland at the Susquehanna River Flats. This is a great area to fish for brackish water for the breeding stripers. Great, great, great area. And like we were saying, Tommy head jigs, they were great there. Like I was saying, a bass assassin or a hoagie, or even the free swimming worms that Mark was talking about. If you ever get up to Susquehanna Flats in April, it's a great place to fish. It's all catch and release at that time of the year, and the fish are tailing and spawning all around you, right in the brackish water there. Which is another really cool part about it is even though it is a little salinity there, there still is largemouth bass, and you can still catch catfish in that same area. So it's a little bit of all-around fishing. Another fish that's popular in the area is the perch. They also spawn on the flats there, but they are a freshwater fish. Hey, Redfish Chuck, welcome to the chat room. Yeah, let's give a shout-out to the chat room. Once again, this is Matt Trucks, Yak Chum, filling in for Mark Wheeler tonight. He's at the gas dock. Hey, Chuck, feel free to call in. And we also got King Rat, and we got Tommy Head Jigs in the chat room. So, Tommy, feel free to call in anybody. My first live show here, pretty much. So it'd be great to have you guys call in. Other than that, low sodium. Fishing the Susquehanna River Flats is where I was. It's a pretty large body of water. You can go all the way up to the dam. You can go all the way down to the right into the Chesapeake and fish on the flats, fish the deeper water, fish the current, fish the bridges. It's definitely a great place. On that, I'm going to go to a commercial, and I'm not sure what this one is.
Bull Bay Custom Rods are handcrafted, designed, built by fishermen for fishermen. Each plank goes through a rigorous stress test to ensure the highest quality, period. You can actually feel the action of the bite as well as lure vibration through the foregrip. Made with the highest quality components and made to your specifications. Bull Bay Custom Rods bring innovation to your hands. Go to bbrods.com to check out some amazing custom rods. Bull Bay Custom Rods, built by fishermen for fishermen.
All right, that was the Bull Bay Rods commercial there. Welcome back. This is the Low Sodium Show with Mark Wheeler. It's Matt Trucks filling in for a few minutes. Tommy's giving me some suggestions to go over here for the low sodium brackish water, which is the topic for this evening. And, fishing the flats, catching the striped bass, spawning striped bass, the big cows, as we call them, big mothers. They put up a good fight in the springtime there. I tend to use lighter tackle, and the fishing game, they like it if you squeeze down the barbs of your hooks not to injure the fish. It's always a good idea. Well, I'm just going to go over some of the questions that Tommy's got here. He's asking you how we rigged it. Like I was saying, I like to use the jig heads, Tommy's heads, or any type of jig head just to get your swim bait out there. Or even I like to use large rattle traps or hard swim baits. These work really well for trolling. And the northern guys like me, they bring down their tubing worm with their sandworms and fish them on the Susquehanna River flats and actually do very well. Other than that, tides. There's not really much of a tide on the Susky Flats. It's only about a 6 inch to a foot tide swing in that particular area. This is really the only brackish water I've fished, except for up in the in New Jersey, where the Delaware River hits the Delaware Bay. That's up by Trenton, New Jersey, and it's the same type of tactic there, but it's a little bit more salty and a lot more tide. So the depths of the flats mostly stay around 4 to 5 feet in most of the area where the river dumps in. But you could fish the channels, which go down to around 20, 25 feet. These are always good productive areas for the migrating fish. Special places to look for the cows, like I was saying, just on the edge of the channel. That seems like a great place, or hanging out in the weeds a lot. You just catch your topwater bait right through there, and bam, the fish will just come out of there and attack that bait. So, to explain the brackish water. Well, what it is the water comes down the river, and it ends up going into the bay, where the water mixes from the fresh water into the salt water. They call it brackish. Hey, Scrapes, welcome to the show there, buddy. So this is where the striped bass, they like to spawn. And the other places are up in the Hudson. They also spawn there. And, of course, up in the Delaware, and then down Chesapeake Bay and on Susquehanna Flats. So if anybody feels like calling in, the number is 714-816-4727. Once again, this is Yak Chum Matt Trucks filling in for Mark Wheeler on the Low Sodium Show. All right, So pretty much covered brackish water. So a lot of things with brackish water is after storms, you're going to catch a lot of muddy water after a lot of rain. You're going to fish your darker type of baits, darker swim baits, darker soft plastics. And when the water's clear, you kind of want to more match the hatch, fish brighter baits. And, All right, on the phone we have Redfish Chuck. Hey, Chuck.
Yo.
Hey, thanks for calling in.
No worries, man. No worries. You're doing a great job.
All right, cool. Thanks. It's my first show. Well, not my show, but just filling in for Mark Wheeler and, getting into it.
Yeah, good job.
All right. We also have another caller on the line. 732, go ahead.
Hey, Matt. It's Scrapes from New Jersey. How are you?
Hey, Scrapes. Welcome to the Low Sodium Show.
Just calling, trying to get some information on colors of lures. I know you just touched on it a little bit, but like the rattle traps, is there a specific color or anything that we should be looking for?
Typically in the clearer water, you're going to go with more of your chartreuses, your shiny, sparkly kind of colors, your like Miro lures with the finish in there, the beer kind of glaze there.
Sounds good. How about yeah, I had to mute that. Go ahead.
Yeah, your speakers were kind of loud there.
What do you think about taking the trebles off and just single hooks? I mean, as far as the water.
Yeah, as far as the catch and release season, that really works out well. Going with the single hook, absolutely.
Very good. Well, nice to hear you, and appreciate you taking the time to talk to me.
Hey, thanks for calling in.
Good luck.
If you have any questions, you can hang on and feel free to chime in.
Very good. Thanks. Talk to you. Bye.
Hey, Chuck, still there?
Yeah, man.
Hey, it's been a while. I haven't been working a lot, so.
Yeah, how you been? I just caught on to the show right there when I logged in. How's fishing been for you lately?
Saltwater fishing's been great. I'm not allowed to talk about that on the Low Sodium Show. So. Yeah, our fluke season just started up big time here. Got a nice 22-inch fluke on Sunday, fishing in the wind and in a river with the tide and a heavy drift. So lucky to get him. I was only out there about 2 hours, just got blown off the water, so.
Feel your pain, my friend. I feel your pain. We're about to be what appear to be hammered by a tropical storm. First one of the year for us down here in Florida. So the wind has not stopped or let up for us really much at all over the last 3 weeks. So, yeah, I definitely feel your pain on the wind factor.
Wow, yeah. Tropical storm's coming in early already, huh?
Yeah. It's going to be a rough year, I think. We've had quite a mild winter. And quite a hot spring, so I think this is a sign of things where when the tropical storms push through, one of my favorite fish to target, especially on fly rod, they go absolutely ballistic, and that would be the almighty tarpon. So,
I've always wanted to target one of those someday.
Fun, and with the deluge of rain that we'll have, the culverts, I'm sure, will be pumping and the ditches will be moving. And
yeah, absolutely. Our bass season is pretty much just about to end here. All the fish are on the way up to Massachusetts with the warmer weather finally coming in for us. We actually had a pretty cold spring and no rain and a lot of wind, which is very different for up here, up in the north in New Jersey.
Yeah, well,
oh, Chuck, you're breaking up. Looks like we lost Chuck there. Chuck, you there? Yeah, we lost Chuck. All right, well, we lost Chuck. So, as I was saying, our bass season is just about over, and the bluefish are all over the place, and you know they're always fun rod benders. So, and it's always fun fishing for them. So, but the fluke or summer flounder season's upon us, and it's just time to go out there, bake and drift. And fluke fishing's a lot of fun, a lot of technique. Is Mark Wheeler back yet, or is he still at the gas dock?
I'm back.
Hey, welcome back.
Shut him off. So, sorry about that, folks.
Hey, we actually got another caller up here. Should we take the caller?
Let's take a quick break, and we'll get to the caller right after a short word from one of my wonderful sponsors.
Okay. Let's see this one here. Jackson Kayak. Can't say enough about their fishing line of kayaks. Very versatile. Most stable boat on the market for your paddling needs. Get to your local dealer and test paddle one. Paddle with luxury. Go to jacksonkayak.com and find out a dealer closest to you. Jackson Kayak. All right, Mark.
All right, cool. All right, we're back. Well, I'm back, and we're back, and we've got a caller. Woo! So,
we do.
Caller, whoever you are, where you from?
321.
Welcome to the Real Sodium Show.
Yeah, I'm back.
Oh, what's going on, man?
Hey, you're talking.
What's going on,
got you back,
man? Yeah. I don't know what happened. My call dropped, but whatever. I actually have a couple questions for you, Mark.
Go ahead, man.
I'm getting back into doing some freshwater stuff. I've been out of it for a while.
Okay.
And not that I'm a newbie by any stretch of imagination in the bass world, but we're about to get pummeled by another little tropical depression. Actually, now it's officially been named as a storm. So question for you being, when a lake is introduced an additional several inches of water, do you find it beneficial to fish those areas that were once dry?
What
I'm saying? Like,
we've got a lake here up in Virginia. Kerr and Gaston are the two, they're basically the same lake, just split with a dam. And when they flood in the springtime, it'll flood 6-7 feet up into like picnic areas. You'll be literally fishing a picnic table. Those bass go in there heavy because what happens is all that dry land, okay, there's this thing called a worm. When it gets really wet, those worms come up to the surface. And those bass go schizo. All those little bugs, all the little bitty mice, anything that, if y'all don't know, bass, if it can fit in a bass's mouth, he's going to eat it. Birds, snakes, frogs, small children, whatever. If it gets in the mouth, it's going in the gut. So when they see that, when that happens, usually a day after, a big swing in barometric pressure like that, the day or two after isn't going to be great, but the water levels aren't going to drop too quickly. But if you can get out and fish before the storm gets there, granted there's going to be wind and just nastiness all around, but before, those bass are going to go on a feeding frenzy, okay? And I would fish the before the storm more than the after. But yeah, if when that the water rises and hits those new areas, there's going to be new cover for them. They're going to push into those areas because it's like a cornucopia of new things for them to eat.
Nice. So you're telling me tomorrow morning when I wake up in the morning, the best thing for me to do is to go and throw some low-sodium type baits in the local lake here so that, because I'm talking, I think the storm's supposed to push in tomorrow evening, so tomorrow morning would probably be perfect then at that point, right?
Oh, yeah. And actually, this is the time to throw those crazy reaction baits, buzz baits, topwaters, spinner baits, big swim baits. If you really get the big boss hogs, basically, this is one you could throw the kitchen sink at them and do very, very well for yourself.
That brother.
So.
Tommy Edchick says he's watched the fish feed on ducklings.
Yeah. I've seen that too. You know, you're like, oh, look at the pretty ducklings. And all of a sudden, the toilet flushes. Whoosh. And what once was five is now four. You know, I've seen him hit goslings, the small geese. You know, where you can tell the bass was a pretty small one, but he just tried it anyway. And all of a sudden, the goose pops up like 2 seconds later, and he's like, wah, 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 you know, losing his mind. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I've seen seagulls do that when the bluefish are under them.
Oh, man. I've seen seagulls. I felt bad for one seagull one time, man. He landed, and a bluefish hit him. Took, you know, if folks that don't know, bluefish are stupid. Okay? They'll eat anything. And a seagull, when it lands and its feet start moving, looks like a big fleshy something. And bluefish love eating them. And they've got big teeth, and they just tear into them. And this poor seagull lands. Boom, you see him get hicks. He dipped down, lost one leg, goes to start to fly off, and his wings, because he was off counter, and he's just kind of like freaking out, would dip it in the water. And another bluefish came in and hit his wing, and yeah, that's when it pretty much ended for him.
Ouch.
Yeah, not the way you want to go.
Not at all.
So, Chuck, got any other questions, man? Yeah. I guess he's not there anymore.
Stand by.
Oh, stand by. Standing by. But yeah, getting back to the brackish. The brackish stuff. The thing you need to understand is that you need to fish it like you would really muddy water, is the best way to put it, okay? Where you kind of slow down sometimes and you go for more of a reaction bite, all right? Because a feed bite a lot of times is really hard. And actually, one of the best ways of doing it, if you're not against it, is using an Alabama rig, a castable umbrella rig. Absolutely deadly. Absolutely deadly in brackish water because there is a lot of schooling bait fish. And actually the bait that I really enjoy using for brackish water or even an umbrella rig in general, and this is going to, I know some guys are going to be, you know, going, wow, that's awesome, is actually using, a clouser, flies, okay? They're thin, they give a really small profile the same way as a small bait for school, okay? And many of the Alabama rigs now come with a big, fishy head, okay? That's actually larger many times than the clouser I'm using. And it really mimics what will happen is you'll get a bluegill, and he'll be swimming, right? And then he's got a bunch of little bait fish all around him, kind of following him because he's a big, he's bigger protection, okay? The little fish are faster, and they can get away when a big fish comes and eats the bluegill, and then they'll find something else to follow behind. You don't have to use big swim baits and paddle baits and go crazy with it. Just a basic clouser or a, bait fish imitation. Using a jelly fly. Those jelly, I call them jellies. That's the only way I know of them. A jelly fly. Absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome. Throwing stuff like that, realizing that, you know, if it's rain, because you're dealing with brackish and rivers usually, if there's, you know, rain, you know, 50 miles up the river, you're going to get muddy water down where you're at. It's really hard, but the rewards are fish that, for pound, are going to be stronger, aren't going to be as heavy, but they're going to be stronger than your basic lake. Right up there with spots and smallmouth in the fight category. They just bulldog you. They're just angry. They're big old angry slaunch. So, But yeah, that's brackish water stuff, man. Again, we're gonna delve into brackish water much more the next show. We're pre-warning everybody that most likely next week's show is going to be a rerun. Actually, I'm going to call it because I'm going offshore. So next week's show is going to be a rerun. The week after, brackish water. We're going to really delve into everyone. And,
hey, we got a jig recommendation or a rig recommendation from the chat room here.
What's that?
There's a rig recommendation for brackish water from the chat room here.
Oh, shoot. What you got?
It's a Alabama rig with 5 Tommy heads and swim baits or flukes.
Yes. That is also a very deadly bait. And that's more, you know, early in the season like it is right now, the flies are absolutely deadly. You know, you're mimicking the bay anchovies that like the brackish water, the small croakers, the pinfish, you know, the really thin, small ones, smelts, baby minnows with those clouds. In the fall, we're talking, late August, September, October time frame is when you're going to go up to those flukes, those swim baits, and really tear into them. And the great thing about brackish water is that many times, as long as your river isn't frozen over, that brackish water is going to be warmer than your lakes and your rivers. It's mixing with the salt water. It'll always be about 2 or 3 degrees warmer than the surrounding waters around it. Especially if you got an area. For instance, if you have a spot, there's a few along the coast, east coast that I know about, that have a power treatment plant, a power producing hydro plant, where it warms up the water right there in that brackish zone. Those bass never stop feeding. They're always in a summer pattern. You've got it. I mean, if you can find that 24/7, 365 bass annihilation.
Get those eight-eyed bass from out of there.
Oh yeah, definitely. But we're gonna take a quick commercial break. Have we done Bull Bay yet, Matt?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're gonna take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more Low Sodium Show. Only on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network. You hear me talking about Bull Bay rods. Why am I doing Bull Bay? I just talked about Bull Bay. But you hear me talk about unfair lures. And brackish water fishing in general is absolutely suited for unfair lures. From throwing shrimp for redfish 1 second to catching a bass the next to throwing the greenie, the arrowhead, and especially the rip and slash and the mullet, two baits that will definitely be in your arsenal when you're fishing those brackish waters. So check them out at your local dealer or go to unfairlures.com, order you some, and take a test ride and go from fishing to catching with Unfair Lures. All right, folks, we're back with more Low Sodium Show.
We have another caller on the line.
Oh, we got a caller. Caller,
yeah.
You are live on Kayak Fishing Radio Low Sodium Show. Something like that.
Hey, Mark, it's King Rat. How are you?
What's going on, man?
Oh, not much. I have a medium sodium report. A little out of the ordinary, so it's a little off topic, but
we like medium sodium reports. Yes.
I was out at the HRBT, the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel, on Sunday.
Okay.
And the weather was pretty bad, but it was doable on the ocean side of the bridge. And when I got out to Fort Wall, I found a sailboat out there, obviously a boater in distress. He was tied up on the rocks.
Oh, no.
And he was just slamming the rocks hard. I was surprised the boat was even afloat. But I managed to get up alongside him, and he had called 911. He told me he'd called 911 and also had called CETO if nobody was coming to get him. I don't know how accurate that was. But the long and the short of it was I didn't try to make any phone calls, but I was able to reach another power boater who was a long way off. It was probably a one-mile paddle for me behind Fort Wool. And
right.
Got the guy to go up and see if he could help. He couldn't. He couldn't even position his boat in a way to tow him out. But he was able to get the rescue squad out there. But real weird story, because the moral, or not the moral, but the end of the story is the boat is still, as of last night, I drove over the bridge, it's still tied up there. And it hasn't sunk yet, so real weird.
Yeah,
the whole thing was real weird.
Yeah, we were out actually at Fisherman's Island when I think we heard you, because we heard of a sailboat in distress, and we heard where it was at. We're like, there's no way we're going to be able to make it.
Yeah,
Sunday was gnarly, dude. I mean, we were ended up going after Drum, and it was rocking our boat, you know, just absolutely tearing us apart. That was a bad day. That's awesome that you helped them out, man.
Yeah, I mean, it woke me up to one fact. I've never worried about having a marine radio, but I need to get a small one, you know, even if it's not to call for help for myself, you know. But this is the second time I've seen boaters that are really having a problem, that it would help to have one to call somebody, you know, and get a boat moving. But, cell phones don't always cut it, because 911 doesn't always know what to do. So that's something I didn't realize.
Yeah, that goes to a very good point. For anyone who does fish the sodium, or even the no sodium, channel 16 is always a distress line. It is always monitored by every vessel, or should be monitored by every vessel in the surrounding area. And we actually had an incident today in Virginia Beach. We were trolling off of the ocean front for bluefish and Spanish mackerel, which is sucking right now. And we had reports that there was a swimmer in distress, you know, about a half mile, you know, north of where we were at. So we pulled up lines and took off after them. And luckily the lifeguards got to him before we did. And, you know, that's something that everyone needs to realize, is that when the distress call comes out and, you know, captains hear it, we pick up what we're doing, even if we have charters with us, and we come to the aid of those in need. It's something that, you know, it's an unspoken rule, kind of I don't know the best way to put it, courtesy, because you never know when you're going to need help from that same person, you know, later on down the road. So little things like that. You've been fishing out there? How you been doing, man?
Yeah, there are stripers out there, and I've been hitting them, and they're nice size ones. They're probably 24 to 26 inches.
Right.
And I have not been able to find them in the light line. They're up on the rocks.
Nice.
Around where the bridge is, and around where that sailboat is, and further on the ocean side.
Right.
But if anybody can get out there, and you got to get a Tommy head jig, but some jig and something that's fairly light so that you can reel slowly and just work them around the rocks, and you can pick some up out there. So it's actually pretty decent fishing. I'm not getting a ton when I go out. I'm getting 3 or 4 a night. So. But
yeah,
there's nobody else fishing down there for the most part, so you've got the place to yourself.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so pretty good fishing.
Cool, man. Well, I can tell you that
you're
not missing anything at the oceanfront.
Yeah.
I mean, we left the inlet this morning, and we were in 69-degree water. We ran a half a mile offshore and hit 59. It was the biggest temperature break. The water was boiling, and we trolled that edge all day and came home with 3 bluefish. Yesterday we ran south past Sandbridge, which is about 20 miles trying to find warmer water, because it was 61, 62 degrees, just awful water. Hopefully, you know, we've had this east wind, we're having the southeast tomorrow. Could blow all that warm water, all the cobia, Spanish mackerel, all the things that make me happy are going to show up. So,
one good note, this year the grays, they're not those little 10-inch grays. The ones I'm catching are up to like 16 inches. You know, it's kind of nice fish. You know, I've never seen that before, because I didn't fish down here when the big grays were around. So,
right.
You know, I unfortunately missed that. But, yeah.
Yeah. They're in their upward swing finally, and that's a positive thing. And what I mean by upward swing, there was a book, I can forget the author's name, It was written in 1940, late 40s, let's say, okay? And he documents, you know, it's a 30 to 40 year trend of what they called weak fish or gray trout are, you know, they'll go for 30 or 40 years where they're just awesome. Then they'll die off for about 10, 15 years. And it'll be really hard to find them. And the reason is the way the guy explains it is that the blowfish and the hardhead, the kingfish as northern kings, not the mackerel kind, but the bottom dwelling kind, really become popular, really become overpopulated, really, and they spawn in the same areas as the gray trout. So there's competition. It kind of blows them out. Luckily, what happens is that it kind of bounces itself out for a year or two, and then the grays come back in force. Then it makes them catching the blowfish and the roundheads a lot harder, is the way it was explained in the book. A very good read, tons of information. But I think that's kind of cool that even back in the 1940-some-odd that this guy was able to document and go, you know what, this is kind of a trend I'm seeing, you know, written by a very old man. Very cool.
Yeah, and it totally holds truth to it. I mean, I live up here in New Jersey, and we couldn't find a weak fish for 9 years. Finally, about 2 years ago, a couple guys started catching here and there, spotty, you know, but nice size ones. And then last year, all of a sudden, the bay up by where I fish all the time, man, loaded with small weakies. Now you can't go anywhere without catching them. It's incredible.
Yeah. And, you know, give another 2 or 3 years and those, you know, 16 to 18-inch weakies, and even the 10-inch ones we were catching last year, 10, 12, 14-inchers. You know, those are our 20, 18s, and 16s. Now, give them another year or two, those will be our 26, 30-some-odd-inch, 5, 10-pounders that, you know, will bring back the fishery for them, which is I'm very excited for. That's a lot of fun. But yeah. Thanks, man, for calling in. It's good to hear from you. And don't be a stranger, buddy.
Okay. I'll hear the rest of the show on the radio. Bye.
Okay, bud. All right, folks. With all that being said and done, it is now time for me to drive home. I am exhausted. And good point in time of the show to call tonight. Chuck, you there, buddy?
We lost Chuck.
Oh, we lost Chuck?
Yeah.
Well, with all that being said, like I said, I want to thank all my sponsors, Jackson Kayak, Wilka Coolers, Bull Bay Rods, Tommy Head Jigs, Unfair Lures, and YakAngler.com, and, you know, can't say enough about them. The Boondoggle is coming up. Go to YakAngler.com/Boondoggle for more information. I mean, it's getting good, folks. Get out there and get some fish on. And to do what you do and the voodoo that you do or whatever you do, do it. Have fun with it. And always remember, folks, before I go, let's thank Matt for filling in for me for a little while there. I've been stressing all day about getting back and doing the show, and you helped alleviate some of that stress there. But thank you very much, man.
Hey, no problem, man. Glad to do it.
Yep. All right, folks. Have a great night. Have a great weekend. Stay safe, everyone in Florida. Try to stay dry and healthy. But with that, take a kid fishing, always wear your PFD, and get your fish on, man. Good night, everybody.